for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the annual Deliverance Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Wednesday evening, October the 23rd, 2013. Carla B. Todd is the speaker of this service, teaching on jealousy in the ministry. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
They hate him yet the more. He started having dreams, and they hate him yet the more. And his brethren envied him. And then they formed a scheme to get rid of him. They were going to murder him. But one of the brothers talked him out of it, so they dug a pit and put him in there and left him for dead. I think I'd almost rather be killed than thrown in a pit and left. Anyway, but God had a plan. God was with him. Daniel, in Daniel 6:3, it says, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel. Against Daniel. See, but favor? Oh, man. We've got to get rid of this guy. But they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. But they found a way. They changed the law. But he was not going to follow that law because he would have had to turn his back against God or to bow down to their God. And he said no. Saul, in 1 Samuel 18:7, and the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousand and David his 10,000. Oh, and the king did not like that. Saul did not like that. 1 Samuel 18:8. And Saul was very wroth. Here comes the anger. And the saying displeased him, and he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000, and to me they have ascribed the thousands. And what can he have more?
The kingdom.
Here's the threat. He's fixing to lose his position and his power. And it says, and Saul eyed David from that day forward. You'll be watched. You'll be watched with that evil eye. And Saul actually set out to have him killed in battle, but it didn't work. And Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David. And Saul was yet the more afraid of David. And Saul became David's enemy continually. Isn't that sad? It started out differently. Saul saw David and his bravery and his courage and his love and faithfulness and trust in God. And that's what wounding to David in the first place. And now he has him for it. So, when I first came here, 2001 to 2003, mostly invisible, I had no problems. Do you hear me? There was peace in the land. But in 2003, Dr. Null began to call me out. I remember the first time I was standing right over there by the organ, and he was over here. He goes, well, I didn't move. He couldn't be talking to me. And he did it again. And I thought, well, maybe somebody's behind me, you know. He goes, you? Me? Okay. So I walked over there and he said, just love on her. So I just loved on her. That's all. Just hug the person. Held them. And before we left the prayer meeting, I got a hug. It turned into a bear trap. She was in my ear with her teeth clenched, and she was calling out, man-hating spirit. Get an Holy Spirit. And I said, yes, Lord, if there's any of that left in me, I want it out. Another minister was standing close by and walked over and undid her arms and said, excuse me. She pulled me over and starts breaking the I don't even know, the violator spirit or something. And I'm like, what's going on here? I don't even know what's happening. So after everybody went into the cafeteria, the clincher came back and and flat out told me, you're not ready for this. Well, actually, it was after Dr. Null called me out another time, and I went over and he whispered in my ear, she has the spirit of something or other. And he turned on his heel and walked off. And I was like, where are you going? Hey, don't leave me here. I didn't know what to do. Except they come out in the name of Jesus. So I said, well, okay, here we go, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I command that spirit of whatever Dr. Noel told me to come out in Jesus' name. And it came out. There was great manifestations. I just kept saying, out, out, in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. I didn't know what else to do. That's when the clincher came back and said, you're not ready. And I said, you're telling me. You're not ready for this. I know, I didn't put me here. God will put you where He wants you when He wants you there. Amen. And guess what? I've told this to others. Let me tell you something. What door God opens, no man can shut. Amen. You don't have to worry about it. What door God opens, no man can shut. But you can walk away. You can, because you have free will. But I'm telling you this to encourage you not to walk away. And when these things happen, know what it is. Know what it is. I can't wait to have this on a CD so I don't have to have a two-hour conversation with people. I mean, just say, I'm going to send you a CD. I think it'll be a help to you. And then after I shared it with them, they come back, you know, you are so right. I was in this meeting, and this is what happened to me. I said, expect it. Just be gracious. And I shared other scriptures, and I'm coming to those. Okay, that very same day that I was told I wasn't ready for this, I was sitting, waiting for the meeting to start by myself, still kind of shy. Bound up, still kind of bound up. That's what shy is anyway, bound up. And I was sitting there looking at my Bible or something, and I hear this voice over my left shoulder, a whisper. It's a man. And he said, you need to go home. Your place is at home with your husband. Your husband is a very lonely man. And I'm like, who is this? Not flesh and blood. It was not flesh and blood. I could have taken it as flesh and blood, but I knew because I had had practice along the way. And I said, well, thank you for telling me that. I will certainly pray about it. Then you know, when I call my husband, he says, well, how's everything going? I said, well, listen to this. He said, why would they say that? They don't even know you. I said, I know, honey. I know. But they think they do. They have presumed me. That told me that they have sat and they think they have me all figured out. I am this Jezebel that left my husband at home. You know, one time Glenn was worried about it. And he said, listen, I know a lot of women ministers that have ended up divorced. He said, I don't ever want this to be a problem. And I said, "Glenn, I don't go anywhere without asking my husband." And he gives me his blessing. But if you wanted to write me a note, I'll bring a note. But you know, Satan will misuse. And I appreciated the things that Brother Jim was saying today, because if you're not careful of those things, you tend to leave your mate because of this call on your life. Well, let me tell you something. God doesn't work like that. He doesn't work like that. I have learned to. So I used to be that way. I didn't know any better. I just thought you just did what you wanted to do, you know? And if he didn't like it, too bad. But God has taught me what it is to be a wife. And he's been, even more than that, he's taught me about my husband's position. And I love having my husband's protection. You know, we were not designed to carry some of the things that many women are carrying this day and age. I told my husband recently, I said, "Do you know how frustrating a woman called me for prayer?" I said, "Do you know how frustrating it is for a woman who is a Christian to know her husband's position, but he doesn't have a clue? It's like being married to Superman, but it's Clark Kent all the time." And my husband said, "Hey, that's good. You need to use that in the teaching." I said, "Clark, Kent is somebody already." I love having a husband. I love my husband. But see, that's where the presumption comes in. Because people will presume you. You can walk into a room, they've never seen you before, they begin to presume who you are. And in Psalm 19:13, I was reading one day, and David wrote this, and he said, "Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sin. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression." See, presuming is a great transgression. You transgress against somebody when you presume. You'll know where this is. It's right before "let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." We know that one. We need to start one scripture before. Presumptuous. The root is to presume, to take or suppose to be true, or entitled to believe without examination or positive proof, or based on the strength of probably this and probably that. Transgression is to break away from just authority, causing one to trespass, offend, rebel, revolt, to shock, to do violence to cause to shrink or turn away with abhorrence, as to revolt the mind or the feelings. That's what was happening when people were doing about face and leave the room. It was an abhorrence. It was a revolt to their mind, you know, for someone to be loved and blessed and favored, and they just hate it. I used to be there. I know how it feels. That's why I can see it and understand it and love the person. There have been many that I've just loved and loved and loved and loved. It's kind of like, you know, those stray dogs that you see, and they've been so mistreated, and you want to feed it, and you're calling it, and they're trembling. That's how people are, really, y'all. They're wounded, and they've been rejected and hurt, and so you just keep loving them and loving them and loving them. I chase them down to give them a hug. "I am so happy to see you. I've been you. Truly, you just keep loving. Good news, 1 Peter 5:10. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, that's the fellowship of his sufferings, make you perfect, establish you, strengthen you, settle you. You can reach a place of being settled where those things are just almost comical. They don't hurt anymore. They don't shame you. They don't embarrass you. You know, all of those things are gone. We can get to the place like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, they weren't prevented from being thrown in the fire. They went in. But guess who was in the fire with them? And the word says, because of that, the fire had no power over them. They came out of that fire, not even smelling like smoke. Not a hair on their head was singed. And brothers and sisters, you can do it too. It does take a little practice. But you can get there. So that whatever happens, you can continue to stand. You can continue to serve. You can continue to love. 1 Peter 4:7 says, but the end of all things is at hand. Do y'all realize that? Be ye therefore sober, and watch unto prayer. That is a real warning today. Beware distractions. That really is what all of this stuff is. See, because if Satan can distract you with offense or hurt or rejection or any of those things, he can pull you away from the things of God and have you so distracted with, and they did this and this happened, and it's just distraction. We need to learn to consider not, pay him no mind, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. That's love.
Yep.
For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. And we know that's true from the love chapter. It's already been talked about. 1 Corinthians 13:1. Though I speak, listen carefully, though I speak, or you speak, with tongues of men and of angels, and have not love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity, love, suffers long and is kind. That one chopped me off at the knees. Because when I suffered, I was not kind. That was before God changed me. Yes, good. Praise the Lord. Love envies not. So see, you can check your love, the measure of your love, by these jealousy, envy, competition, all those things. That's not love. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeks not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. The love of God. So see, all those things up there, those are all kind of works that we do. But even if there's no love with the work, he says, it doesn't profit you. So sometimes when people are having a problem, I don't care what kind of problem it is, I said, begin to ask God for more of his love. Lord, I need more of your love. You have a difficult relationship. Lord, I need more of your love. Because that is the answer to everything. It is what heals. It is what delivers. It is what saves. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man has received the gift, minister the same one to another. Remember he was talking about the gift? Your gift may be in administration, or it may be in music, or it may be in healing, or it may be in, you know, all these things. So whatever gift you've been given, minister that gift one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak as the oracles of God, if any man minister as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen?
Amen.
In closing, 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. I've talked about some of those tonight. You're going to have some fiery trials. Don't think it strange. Expect it. Jesus told us about it. I'm telling you about it again. As though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, be happy. Sign me up. For the spirit of glory, listen to this. I remember when God showed me this, it was such a comfort to me. For the spirit of glory, there's a spirit of glory and of God. Spirit of glory and spirit of God rest upon you. On their part, he's evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. He's glorified if you have the correct response. If you cuss him out and beat him up, God's not glorified in that. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. You know, Jesus said, don't worry about what you'll say. One time, just what did come as a little bit of a shock, but God was right there to do the thing anyway for me. But I kind of got a blasting. I mean, somebody approached me. They were very angry. They were very loud. They were raw. They were loud in their anger. They corrected me, but it was a public arena that had I not learned that lesson from my daddy and from my daddy, I might have run out of the room crying and probably never come back. But God just took over and did the most marvelous thing, and there was no, really, God saved me and him. God saved him in it too, because of the response that God did through me, because I was in shock. My flesh woman was in shock. My spirit woman did just what God wanted me to do. So he will. He will give you the exact right thing to say. You don't have to worry about it. For if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them be that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. And that is the end of what the message was to say, which was, it's difficult because it's not easy to, you know, you don't want to go around telling all these things. But frankly, I was praying about the situation back in May, and
I had told Mike about the situation, and so I was praying about it, and I said, hey, you know what? I'm getting a message out of this praying about this situation. And if I have the opportunity to ever speak at the minister's conference again, this is what I'm going to spring. And I forgot all about it. So in September, Patty called. So I'm bringing myself before the Lord, asking him, okay, Lord, you know he's going to be there. You know what they need to hear. Give it to me, Lord. So for a day or two, I was hearing nothing. And I was like, Lord, are you hearing me? And one morning during my quiet time, it's like he pushed a replay button of my own words. And I heard, if I ever have the opportunity to teach at the ministry conference again, this is what I'm going to bring. And I went, oh, Lord, I forgot. So I knew exactly what I was to bring. So I just had to sit down and get it on paper. So I hope that this has been a help to some of you. If some of you who have been in ministry for years and years can relate to a lot of this in your own sufferings that you've suffered along the way. Some of those who are just getting started. You heard it. And, you know, we do a lot of teaching and training about deliverance, but I've never heard this that we need to hear to prepare you for what Jesus prepared the disciples for. Behold, I send you forth as sheep among the wolves. So, hopefully this is going to arm you and get you ready to just almost laugh it off when it happens. Because it will. Nobody gets by without these things happening. Okay, so now we're going to come against the spirit. Why don't y'all stand up? I know you've been sitting a long time. And we're going to start with the wolf spirit. The wolf spirit. You know, because in every group, there are those who have been on the receiving end of that, and there have been those who have been on the giving end. In every group, some are the doers and the others are the partakers. So we're gonna hit it from both sides. So we're gonna start with the wolf spirit. So Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you have given us power over all the power of the enemy. I thank you that you said you gave us permission to use your name to cast out demons, evil spirits. And so right now, in the name of Jesus, I bind every wolf spirit, all wolf spirits. We just bind you right now, the ravenous wolf, the crafty, the greedy of gain. I bind you in the name of Jesus. Greedy to obtain, cunning, artful spirits, go in the name of Jesus. All scheming, go in the name of Jesus. Wily, deceitful, fly spirits, go in the name of Jesus. Come out. Take a deep breath and blow them out. Deceitfulness, slyness, secretiveness, concealment, all spirits of concealment, go in the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath. Blow it out. All those things that go on behind the scenes, working behind the scenes, not being detected. All spirits of meanness, just meanness. I bind the spirit of the mean man. Did you know there is it's mentioned in the scripture, the mean man. I didn't know that. He had me break that off with somebody one time, and then I found it in the scripture. I thought, well, what do you know about that? So I bind the mean man in Jesus' name. I command all spirits of the mean man, go in Jesus' name. Fraudulent spirits, go. Fraudulent spirits. False prophets, go in the name of Jesus. All spirits of the false prophets, go in the name of Jesus. All spirits of competition, go in the name of Jesus. All competition. Say it along with me. I command all spirits of competition to get out of me in Jesus' name. Striving. Struggling. Striving for office. Superiority. Position. Power.
to go.
Get out of me in Jesus' name. All staking claims, staking a claim, having your own agenda. In the name of Jesus, go. Self-advancement, self-proclaiming, go. In the name of Jesus. All spirits of entitlement, go. In the name of Jesus. Delusions of grandeur, go. In the name of Jesus. All delusions of grandeur. I come against opposition. I say, I command all spirits of opposition to get out of me now. All resistance. I'm not sure I can say this. Being contrary. Repugnance. Contradiction. Striving against. All warring spirits. Get out. Get out of here. In Jesus' name. Go. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Now all jealousy. Go. In the name of Jesus. I command out of me. Envy. Selfishness. Evil desire. Iniquity. Discontent. Brooding. Brooding over another's prosperity. Fretting. Grieving. Wantonness. Go in the name of Jesus. Come out. Take a deep breath. Out. Out. All envy, selfishness, evil desire, covetousness, iniquity, discontent. Brooding. Go in the name of Jesus. Fretting, grieving, wantonness. Go in the name of Jesus. I command out of me all spirits of hatred, dislike, detesting, aversion, and anger, wrath. Go in the name of Jesus. Get out in the name of Jesus. Go. Come out in the name of Jesus. All spirits of presuming, get out of me in Jesus' name. Supposing, entitled to believe. Without proof. Unreasonable boldness. Venturing. Arrogance. Being overconfident. Come out in Jesus' name. You lead God's people now. In the name of Jesus, come out. We break your power in Jesus' name. All scourging. Humiliating. Humiliation. Whipping. Lashing. Punishing. Belittling. Embarrassing. Go in the name of Jesus. We break your power and command you to come out now in Jesus' name. Take a deep breath and blow them out. All spirits of mutiny. Overthrowing. Pushing your own agenda. Plotting to take over. Overpowering. Murder. The evil eye. In Jesus' name. Come out. We break your power off God's people. In the name of Jesus, you go. Yes. All selfish ambition. Okay. Now I want to get to the flip side. So, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I command out of me.
I command out of me.
All hurt.
All hurt.
Woundedness.
Woundedness.
Offense.
Offense.
Holding grudges.
Holding grudges.
Unforgiveness.
Unforgiveness.
Fear of offense.
Fear of offense.
Fear of hurt.
Fear of hurt.
Fear of rejection.
Fear of rejection.
Fear of authority.
Fear of authority.
Go in the name of Jesus. Come out. All hurt. All grief. Go in the name of Jesus. Go in Jesus' name.
I command out of me.
All spirits of distraction.
Taking my eyes off Jesus.
You remember what happened when Peter took his eyes off Jesus? He sank. So I command out of me all thinking spirits. All thinking spirits. All quitting spirits. Hiding spirits. In the name of Jesus. Get out. Get out. Go. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now loose the healing of wounds right now. Lord, now I want y'all just to, in the best way that you know how. Lord, I am asking for every person here, every vessel to be opened up wide right now. Circumcise their hearts, Lord, to receive your love your love that will heal, that will set them free from past hurt, disappointment. In the name of Jesus, I just loose the kingdom of God into every person to receive healing of wounds, healing. I speak healing to the broken heart, the broken spirit, the wounded spirit. I loose love. Lord, I just ask you to just pour out your love right now on every person. Fill them up, Lord, with your love. It's going to cast out all fear. It's going to cast out all jealousy, envy. Lord, that we can love one another like you want us to. I loose upon them right now a fresh anointing of your love, a fresh anointing of your joy, a fresh anointing of your peace, of patience, of kindness, of goodness. I loose faith, the faith of God, I loose upon you. Gentleness, self-control, the Spirit of God. I loose the Spirit of grace upon you. God's grace, His mercy. I loose upon you mercy, compassion, and tenderness. And now we just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for warning us, Lord. Thank you for letting us know ahead of time so that we're not knocked off balance and crash and burn and quit and walk away from what you've called us to do. Lord, we thank you that you've called us. Lord, I just bless each one to walk out the call, your call on their life with courage and strength and joy in the name of Jesus. I bless you. Lord, give them all a restful night's sleep. I bind every tormenting spirit. Lord, we ask you to pour out your Holy Spirit right now to come and inhabit those places that the demons have left. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Everybody, let's give a hand to the Lord for that.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.